Tuesday, March 10. The first reading from Daniel chapter 3, verses 25 and 34 through 43. Azariah stood up in the fire and prayed aloud, "For your name's sake, O Lord, do not deliver us up forever, or make void your covenant. Do not take away your mercy from us for the sake of Abraham your beloved, Isaac your servant, and Israel your holy one, to whom you promised to multiply their offspring like the stars of heaven or the sand on the shore of the sea. For we are reduced, O Lord, beyond any other nation, brought low everywhere in the world this day because of our sins. We have in our day no prince, prophet, or leader, no burnt offering, sacrifice, oblation, or incense, no place to offer first fruits to find favor with you. But with contrite heart and humble spirit let us be received, as though it were burnt offerings of rams and bullocks, or thousands of fat lambs. So let our sacrifice be in your presence today, as we follow you unreservedly, for those who trust in you cannot be put to shame. And now we follow you with our whole heart. We fear you and we pray to you. Do not let us be put to shame, but deal with us in your kindness and great mercy. Deliver us by your wonders, and bring glory to your name, O Lord." Haydock Commentary. There were chiefs and judges as well as prophets among the captives, yet the republic was in disorder. Zedekiah was dead, Joachim in prison, so that no Jewish king ruled over the people. Nor was there any prophet in the promised land, Jeremiah being either dead or in Egypt. Prophets were at least very rare. They knew not yet whether they would escape the fire. When they beheld the angel, they had greater confidence and broke forth into a hymn of praise. They now offer all they can, a humble heart. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then in anger his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." Haydock Commentary. St. Peter knew the Jews to be much given to revenge. He therefore thought it a great proof of superior virtue to be able to forgive seven times. It was for this reason he proposed this question to our Lord, who, to show how much he esteemed charity, immediately answered, not only seven times, but 70 times seven times. He does not mean to say that this number must be the bounds of our forgiving. We must forgive to the end and never take revenge, however often our brother offend against us. There must be no end of forgiving poor culprits that sincerely repent, either in the sacrament of penance or one man another his offenses. To recommend this great virtue more forcibly, he subjoins the parable of the king taking his accounts, and from the great severity there exercised, he intimates how rigid will his heavenly Father be to those who forgive not their enemies. When our brother sins against us, we must grieve for his sake over the evil he has committed. But for ourselves we ought greatly to rejoice, because we are thereby made like to our heavenly Father, who bids the sun to shine upon the good and the bad. Let us imitate Joseph, who, though reduced to a state of the most abject servitude by the hatred of his unnatural brethren, yet in the affliction of his heart employed all his power to succor them in their afflictions. Let us imitate Moses, who after 1,000 injuries raised his fervent supplications on behalf of his people. Let us imitate the blessed Paul, who, though daily suffering 1,000 afflictions from the Jews, still wished to become an anathema for their salvation. Let us imitate Stephen, who, when the stones of his persecutors were covering him with wounds, prayed that the Almighty would pardon their sin. Let us follow these admirable examples. Then shall we extinguish the flames of anger. Then will our Heavenly Father grant us the forgiveness of our sins through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. So says St. John Chrysostom. In this parable, the master is said to have remitted the debt, and yet afterwards to have punished the servant for it. God doth not in this manner with us, but we may here observe once for all that in parables, diverse things are only ornamental to the parable itself, and a caution and restriction is to be used in applying them. God will not revoke a pardon once granted, for this would be contrary to his infinite mercy, and his works are without repentance. It means that God will not pardon, or rather that he will severely punish the ingratitude and inhumanity of the man who, after having received from God the most liberal pardon of his grievous transgressions, refuses to forgive the slightest offense committed against him by his neighbor, who is a member, nay, a son of his God. This ingratitude may justly be compared with a large amount of debt, as every grievous offense committed against God exceeds in an infinite degree any offense against man. This forgiveness must be real, not pretended. It must be from the heart, and not in word and appearance only. It must sacrifice all desire of revenge, all anger, hatred, and resentment at the shrine of charity.